he wrote three incredible sonatas, but and of course I love Brahms, but the first one just has this magical quality to it. It's just basically poetry, I think, for violin piano. It's just so beautiful from beginning to end. It's the most lyrical piece I know. It doesn't have an ending that brings the house down, but I think every time I play it or hear it, at the end of this piece, I have tears just about to come out of my eyes because it's just so beautiful and there's just nothing like it.
I'm sure you don't have a hanky handy. So what do you do when you're about to?
Well, generally, you know, I mean, music does. I'm an emotional person, I guess. Most artists, I guess, my job is to wear my heart on my sleeve in a sense. I would tend to feel tearful more listening to music than playing it because you have an outlet when you're playing it. So generally, that's not an issue of my breaking down into tears on stage. There are a couple of, you know, occasional moments that have a particular personal connection. Certain pieces I'll play that I'll feel that level of emotion. But generally, it's not not something I have to deal with.
You know, it's kind of hard to think of you only as a classical musician. Was that a conscious goal for you to branch out into so many different things?
I'm a musician. I don't know what, you know, classical musician is kind of a strange term for someone that plays music that spans basically 400 years, you might say, and we just lump it all into this thing called classical music. Once you get into the 20th century, music that classical musicians play doesn't necessarily resemble very much anymore what music from 200 or 300 years earlier, and yet we're still called classical musicians. So, you know, there are times where I feel more connected and more closely connected as a classical musician to Gershwin, for instance, which is not considered classical music, than I would be some other piece written at the same time by a so-called serious classical composer. So I just think of myself as a musician, and I love playing music from other genres, at least my classical take on it. You know, I will never be a jazz violinist or a bluegrass violinist, but I enjoy sort of having my own take on that genre of music.
You have three little boys under the age of 10, and I know that you showed early musical interest. Is that popping up in any of those three?
Well, yeah, I have a 7-year-old and two 5-year-olds, and they all play music, cello, violin, and piano, and yeah, they really just love music, I don't want to put pressure on them to become musicians, although I'd be happy if they enjoyed it that much to continue on throughout their lives. But I'm just glad they have music in their lives. I think they do have some talent. It's really fun to see that.
Well, when did you start them on music? I mean, if they're 5 and 7 now.
Yeah, it's sort of like around the time I started. I was 4 years old when I started playing the violin, and that's about the time. I think it's a good time for all children to start taking lessons of a musical instrument, and I really do believe all children should be doing it. You know, I think it should be in school. I think music should be a really big part of everyone's life, whether they become professionals or not. I don't know, as much as mathematics or language, music is such a part of who we are, and it's such a great jumping off point for learning and from language to math to logic to social skills. I mean, it's just got everything. Every school should have music, and even as a basis of education and not as a after-school elective.
You know, I guess I didn't think about it on the surface, about the social interactions and how much that is required, especially in chamber music, that unspoken connection that you have with your musical partner. Do you find that
it is, yeah, go ahead.
Well, can you talk about that a little bit? I mean, do you find that that has really enhanced your emotional or your social intelligence?
You know, it's, first of all, I can't imagine my life without music, so to try to imagine that or what kind of person I would be without music is very hard to imagine. But certainly I see it in kids. I'm involved in an organization called Education Through Music that brings these programs to inner city schools of very underprivileged kids who had no music at all. You see the results. It's just the way they work together, their self-esteem increases. It's an amazing thing, and music is a beautiful way of bringing people together and learning how to give and take and how to share. You couldn't come up with a better tool than music, if you want, you know, to teach people that, because and everyone loves music.
About a year or so ago, you did a Google Hangout, and I think about six people were on it, including you and two other folks from the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. Are you doing more of that? Do you find that the social media is playing a larger role in what you're doing? And can you tell me how that's playing out as far as connecting to your audience? Because I think you've always been pretty open to your audience.
Are you saying six people joined total on the Google Hangout?
Well, that's all I could see. That's all I could see on the screen. So I don't know.
I'm hoping there were more than that from around the world that joined on the Hangout, but I don't. I love technology, so I'm very excited about it, and I used it. I've had concerts from my own home that I've broadcast over the internet and had lots of listeners. I think that's a really fun thing, which I want to do more and more of. But eventually, I think we're entering into the world of virtual reality as well. I think there's some really exciting stuff that could happen. We're really feeling like you're right there in a concert or in a hangout. So definitely I'm really keeping my eye out for new technologies and new ways to bring music to people. It's exciting to see, you know, even YouTube, you know, the amount that you can find on there is bringing music to a lot of people. And so, and classical music is, so the idea that classical music is somehow a dying art form is, I totally disagree with that. And I see great evidence that it's really thriving, you know, on the internet.
So is there a Joshua Bell avatar out there somewhere playing music?
Avatar? I don't know. I got to figure that one out. But I do think that musicians need to stay with the times. The great thing about classical music is that it's so relevant. So we don't need to mess with the music. You know, we don't need to take, Beethoven's, you know, this is 250 years old music, so we need to kind of update it, add a drum beat, do this or that, you know, to make it relevant. You don't need to. But the way we present it, there we can be more current and not bury our heads in the sand when it comes to technology.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time, Joshua. I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting out of the weather here in New York and coming down to Florida.
I don't know why. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank
now. Take
you
care.
Very much. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.